Harry did not dare look directly at Draco, but saw him obliquely, a figure slightly taller than he was, rising from an armchair, his face a pale and pointed blur beneath white blonde hair. Greyback forced the prisoners to turn again so as to place Harry directly beneath the chandelier.
"Well, boy," rasped the werewolf.
Harry was facing a mirror over the fireplace, a great gilded thing in an intricately scrolled frame. Through the slits of his eyes, he saw his own reflection for the first time since leaving Grimald Place. His face was huge, shiny, and pink, every feature distorted by Hermione's jinx. His black hair reached his shoulders, and there was a dark shadow around his jaw. Had he not known that it was he who stood there, he would have wondered who was wearing his glasses. He resolved not to speak, for his voice was sure to give him away. Yet he still avoided eye contact with Draco as the latter approached.
"Well, Draco," said Lucius Malfoy. He sounded avid. Is it Harry Potter?"
I can't be sure," said Draco.
He was keeping his distance from Greyback and seemed as scared of looking at Harry as Harry was of looking at him.
"But look at him carefully. Look, come closer."
Harry had never heard Lucius Malfoy so excited.
"Draco, if we are the ones who hand Potter over to the Dark Lord, everything will be forgiven.
Now we won't be forgetting who actually caught him, I hope, Mr. Malfoy,"
said Greyback menacingly.
Of course not,"
said Lucius impatiently. He approached Harry himself, came so close that Harry could see the usually languid pale face in sharp detail, even through his swollen eyes. With his face a puffy mask, Harry felt as though he was peering out from between the bars of a cage.
"What did you do to him?"
Lucius asked Greyback.
"How did he get into this state?"
"That wasn't us."
"Looks more like a stinging jinx to me," said Lucius.
His grey eyes raked Harry's forehead.
"There's something there," he whispered. "It could be the scar. Stretch tight. Draco, come here. Look properly. What do you think?"
Harry saw Draco's face up close now, right beside his father's. They were extraordinarily alike, except that while his father looked beside himself with excitement, Draco's expression was full of reluctance, even fear.
"I don't know,"
he said, and he walked away toward the fireplace where his mother stood watching.
"We had better be certain, Lucius,"
Narcissa called to her husband in her cold, clear voice.
"Completely sure that it is Potter before we summon the Dark Lord. They say this is his."
She was looking closely at the blackthorn wand.
"But it does not resemble Ollivander's description. If we are mistaken, if we call the Dark Lord here for nothing, remember what he did to Raoul and Dolohov."
"What about the mudblood, then?" growled Greyback.
Harry was nearly thrown off his feet as the snatchers forced the prisoners to swivel around again so that the light fell on Hermione instead.
"Wait,"
said Narcissa sharply.
"Yes, yes. She was in Madame Malkin's with Potter. I saw her picture in the Prophet. Look, Draco, isn't it the Granger girl?"
"Aye, maybe. Yeah.
But then, that's the Weasley boy,"
shouted Lucius, striding around the bound prisoners to face Ron.
"It's them, Potter's friends. Draco, look at him. Isn't it Arthur Weasley's son? What's his name?"
"Yeah," said Draco again, his back to the prisoners. "It could be."
The drawing room door opened behind Harry. A woman spoke, and the sound of the voice wound Harry's fear to an even higher pitch.
"What is this? What's happened, Sissy?"
Bellatrix Lestrange walked slowly around the prisoners and stopped on Harry's right, staring at Hermione through her heavily lidded eyes.
"But surely,"
she said quietly,
"this is the Mudblood girl. This is Granger."
"Yes, yes, it's Granger," cried Lucius. "And beside her, we think, Potter. Potter and his friends. Caught at last."
"Potter!"
shrieked Bellatrix, and she backed away, the better to take in Harry.
"Are you sure? Well then, the Dark Lord must be informed at once.